Hi here. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your interest. And today we've got a fascinating guest. You may have heard about, in some way, shape, or form, contact. People who've had actual encounters with other life forms, not from this planet or maybe this dimension, this sphere, and this reality. What happens when you have that kind of encounter or engagement is it blows your whole sense of real, your whole sense of what is this place that we are living and where is this place and all of the things that are supposed to be normal, because your normal just went off the deep end. So in doing all of my research, and I talk with Jeff Becker, who has the book for the U.S. context. He was very, very helpful, and they collected a lot of their stories. Mary, and if you're familiar with John Mack, who did some fascinating, fascinating interviews with people that are just beyond our current concept of what is real. Mary Rodwell is in the Australian world of paranormal and UFO contact research. And so she shares a whole different element. And the fact that it's global is nice. It's not just one part of the planet that has this stuff going on. But the more we connect our dots and the more connected we become globally, we're learning some amazing things about our reality. Mary Rodwell, hi there. Thanks for joining me.
Wendy, it's a pleasure.
Now, you're the founder and the principal of the Australian Close Encounter Resource Network, ACERN. And that's available if you're listening, acern.com.au. And what inspired you? Did you have an encounter or a connection with somebody who did? How did you get started in this?
Well, it's like a lot of things in life, you don't necessarily seek it. And I often make the joke that 40 years ago as a nurse midwife, if you told me that 40 years later I was going to be traveling the world talking about aliens, I'd have probably sent you to the nearest psychiatrist. But the truth is that it was just in private practice. I've been a counselor and hypnotherapist for the last 25 years. And people come with all sorts of accounts. Some of, you know, when they're telling you their life story, some of them are what we would call paranormal. But this gentleman came to me and he said, look, there are no support groups for this. For this, people just think you're crazy. And he proceeded to tell me about his own experiences, which meant he felt he was going through walls, waking up with marks on his body. But the fascinating thing for me was it wasn't just himself. It was his partner and the children. So this wasn't just an individual experience, which immediately got my curiosity because he sounded very articulate, very grounded. It wasn't like he was, you know, looking in any way psychologically impaired. And his story was very profound. Fortunately, I had read the book by Dr. John Mack only a few months before, because I'm one of these people, if it's weird and wonderful, I've usually got a book on it. I have that kind of curiosity about life and the mysteries of life. So I had read that and I was very impressed with Dr. Mack's book, because he was a professor of psychiatry who'd worked with experiences or abductees, as he called them. He found there was no psychological impairment and he believed that this was real. And that really was the beginning of my journey in, okay, so what's going on here and what's happening with this gentleman? And having done, I was doing advanced counseling at the time, I took it to supervision. And what was fascinating to me that when I spoke about it amongst my group, all counselors, all, you know, social workers, there was even a uniting minister there. And I mentioned this account, and interestingly, not one of them suggested that the guy was crazy, but they all started to tell me about their own unusual paranormal experiences. So it actually opened the door for them to share as well. But what it did show me was how little we knew, and that I needed to find out more about what this was about and how real it was in terms that you and I could understand.
I want to digress just a little bit, or actually revisit. Johnny Mack's book is, and it's John Initial E. Mack, MD, Passport to the Cosmos. This is a fascinating book And it's really focusing and giving us an introduction to this alien contact. And some people say, don't call them aliens. We don't really have a good language. Okay, there are others. They are other life forms, and how they conduct their normal reality is still a mystery to us. So they are alien to us, and so I'm not trying to be disrespectful. It's just I have to have something to start with. So, so that's where I'm going with this. But you, when you started doing this, you found some fascinating stories from the children. And that was, they went over and they visited there was a sighting with a grade school. And the thing about this was that all the children, even when separated, told similar stories. So it wasn't mass hysteria, a group, you know, encounter where they all walked off the deep end. They each had their own connection with the same experience, which gives it a whole lot more validation that there was something else going on here. When you began working with children, what was the difference between that and this man the person you're talking about in this particular instance?
Well, as you know, Wendy, things evolve, and you're quite right. Dr. John Mack interviewed children in Zimbabwe, and we even have a school in Melbourne that in the 60s had a similar experience, which nobody hears about, called Westall 66, where children at a school there in Melbourne actually sighted a craft. There were about 200 children and a few teachers that actually saw the craft. So in that sense, it's not about just one person, and that's really important. The thing that I need to state here, it's intergenerational, which means it runs in families. So if you have one person have an experience, it's quite likely or possible the siblings, the parent, grandparent, and of course grandkids. So what evolved into one person ended up with me working with families, and that's when you hear the stories about the children where parents will say, I believe one of my children or all my children are having something going on as well. You know, I had a mother say to me that her son said to her, I don't mind going through the walls and they teach me more on the ships than I learn at school, for example. Now, that is a really unusual thing for a child to say at 5 years old. Mm-hmm. Some of the children, when they're very young, will say, you're not my real parents. My parents are out there. You're just here to look after me. And I remember one mother saying to her daughter, well, what do what does your other family look like? And she said, because her daughter said, I don't really look like this, meaning a human form. And the little girl said, I can't show you because you'd be frightened. Now, that's, again, what we're talking about with children is they don't watch talk shows. They don't read books on this. And the things that they talk about are not on their, you know, cartoons. For example, a little boy who drew a triangular craft, which he goes in and interacts with these little beings. And he drew an energy field around it, for example. Again, what child knows about energy fields? So it was the children that became very interesting to me and the way that they described it, because it has an integrity that simply because they're not reading books or seeing the talk shows. And recently, I've become even more interested in what the children are saying because it seems they're taught a great deal on the craft. A very local lad, for example, he told me that his real family is the mantid beings, which are kind of insect-like beings, which many, many people, in fact, have had these experiences around the world. And this young boy has no problem with saying, that's my real family and that's where I came from. And this is going to confront perhaps some of your listeners in the sense that he's talking about the movement of soul into some of these beings. And what he has said, for example, is that sometimes on the spacecraft, he evaporates into the mantid form for a while, which is quite incredibly interesting, and then comes back into his human container. Now, you would think this is the wildest of fantasies if I hadn't heard the exact description from a gentleman in England, Simon Parks, who's 52, who's a town councillor, that says his family is the mantid beings and that sometimes on the craft he moves into a mantid form and works with humans on the craft and then goes back into his human form. In other words, they're describing the fact that the soul doesn't have to be in its human container the whole time, even though you're living a human life, that sometimes it can go into another form for a time, which is showing us the fact that the soul isn't contained in the way that we sometimes believe it to be. These are huge concepts to come from a young child. This 8-year-old talks about wormholes. He talks about going through portals in craft to other universes. He mentions the fact that he and a couple of his school friends, he remembers they all go up on the craft. They're in a kind of container for a while where he says, I can't move. And the blue beings are doing a medical exam. He said, it's my yearly medical exam, for example. He also talks about being with his school friends in a group and they are with other children. He says some of them don't look quite the same human as they are. And he says they use my mind to get me to understand things like mathematics, complex mathematics, learning about wormholes. Remember, this is an 8-year-old. And he's saying, and my mind, he said, is I can actually create things in a holographic way with the others in the group so that we are actually using our brain waves, he calls it, you know, as a way of articulating how he's using his mind in a telepathic way, but also in a creative way. These are concepts that you don't expect from an 8-year-old. I have a 10-year-old in England that told me, his mother told me initially that this young 10-year-old has gone to school and he's tried to teach yoga to the children. He told the school that they're teaching in a linear way or in a straight line when he thinks in spirals. He actually mentioned to me that when he was 7 or 8, that he was given formula to create portals. Now, this is a 10-year-old child, which is, I mean, the concepts of what these young children are talking about. The 9-year-old that I am talking to in Northern Europe with a mother who's a teacher said, I was told that my children weren't mine and that they were here to help humanity awaken. And her 9-year-old, I'll call Kathy, she heard about the languages in one of my presentations. And when she was shown the languages, she herself, as the mother said, speaks 3-star languages. And when she heard these languages on this presentation of mine, she said, that lady will know what I'm saying, because she was so excited to hear the languages on the presentation. And this little girl actually says that she can heal water. And by that, she speaks one of the languages to the water. And the mother says it actually tastes different. So here we have a child that seems to be aware that the frequencies that she is directing towards water in some way change it. And when you're familiar with Masaru Emoto's work and Messages in Water, this is a Japanese scientist that has shown that with water, the crystalline nature of water, that if you pray lovingly or you use certain types of music or certain intent, you actually change the crystalline structure of water. So here we have a child of 9 describing what she's doing, and it's a frequency. It's this frequency, she says, changes the nature of water or heals water. And she said, we're here to help humanity wake up. And my little brother, who's only about 2 or 3, who she says is followed around by a little blue orb. I've seen the video with this little blue orb following this little toddler. She says the blue orb is his guide and protector. And she said that I know that it protects him, but he's going to be a teacher too. She said, we're here to awaken our families and to help this humanity wake up. And in the next 5 years are going to be some big changes as part of that wake up. Now, remember, we're talking about a 9-year-old child describing this in great detail, including the fact that she hasn't a lot of time for how we're educated at school. And she says they program you out of your light. This is what happens when you're educated in school. She said, because we already have the information and the knowledge that we need. And this is the kind of thing, Wendy, that these children are saying, which is absolutely profound.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I was going to say that, you know, there are adults who have this information, but exactly making the point very, very strongly is that education thing, that school thing that, you know, programs you out of your light. It's a way of saying that we have our own tools and our own blueprint for what we're here to do. But in order to follow a society role and join with the collective view of whether it happens to be materialistic, whether it's commerce oriented. It's all of this stuff that says that you have to go along with what society is doing or you don't fit in. And that automatically, usually, eradicates the intuition and all of that wonderful non-linear stuff that is part of our wisdom that we are born with. And these kids are saying, not going to go there. Can't go there. Got instructions to do something else. They've basically been circumvented from falling into the trap of forgetting everything. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And more I've come to realize that we are actually programmed into a limited reality. And this is what we're told, that unless we conform to that, then we're going to be so different that even at school, we're going to find it difficult to relate to other children or whatever. So in a way, you play the game or you are on the outside and you're ostracized. So a lot of the children eventually shut down. They have to conform. But the trouble with that, of course, then is that they feel very isolated and very alone. And a lot of those that are, as children, they're seeing the non-physical realm. They sometimes have to even learn what solid is, for example, which is quite fascinating that they have to learn about, what is solid and what isn't. But the hardest thing is that a lot of the children and the older star seeds, as I call them, have argued with their teachers about certain information and certain facts that they're being taught and said, you're actually incorrect. You're not right. And some of the teachers, they've said, we've been, told off. Sometimes we've been told, some people have even been excluded from a particular school because they've continually questioned, because they're saying that's not how it is, because mm-hmm. they have this innate knowledge. They really do understand the matrix. And what we're doing through our programming is shutting out all the ability to access that in a way that is accepted.
Well, I would like to introduce the fact that we are being contacted globally in being contacted and invited to join this view of reality, this perception, this window, this next phase, step, whatever it is. And we have been being invited since the 70s, very, very in big groups, because there have been sightings where a lot of people have all experienced the same thing. But when they take that out of their community and try to share that, then everybody else says, well, that community is off the deep end. They can't prove it. It doesn't happen somewhere else. It only happened there. And it gets really difficult to share that. But that is changing as more and more, I think, connections are made with different cultures, different languages, different parts of the world that have been isolated because of our technology. So all of the poo-pooing about how far the technology is taking us, the upshot and the bonus is that we're getting to become familiar and educated with other people and educated about other people who share these incredibly unusual, not normal experiences of reality. And we're finding out it isn't so abnormal after all.
That's absolutely correct, Wendy. I agree. What's fascinating for me over the last 15 or 20 years, how the shift has been in terms of people's acceptance of the greater reality, in terms of clairvoyance, people that, talk about their guides. This has become very, very normal. What's fascinating for me is how that's accelerated now. I mean, my client base is over 2,000 people I've worked with so far, and it's exponential now in the numbers that are contacting me because of the wonderful internet, and they're able to access this information. I get emails from Japan, Russia, Alaska, South America, almost, incredible in terms of the global impact of people waking up to this. And, the indigenous tribes have known about this and accepted this anyway. The Aboriginals call some of the space beings the Wangina. They're space people that come that down. They have known that they've been coming down all through their dream time, for example, and have taught them many, many things. So, but this was always, this is the indigenous tribes, they'll believe anything. But what's happening with Western society now is that we're making a shift, and more people who've kept, I've met people in their 70s and 80s that have had experiences and said, I've never been able to talk about it because I don't want to be seen as crazy or whatever. And they're coming out the woodwork. It's quite incredible. And my clientele are lawyers, doctors, nurses, you know, scientists. I've got, you know, recently a geneticist that's come. He's really struggling with the fact that, you know, he was assistant senior scientist and a geneticist that's having beings visiting him in his room and seeing UFOs with his father. And this is so conflicting with his scientific background. I mean, he came to me and he said, you know, where do I go? And if I go this way and go down the rabbit hole, what's going to happen? Am I going to just go crazy and what have you? And I said, well, the trouble is that while you try and stay in that third dimensional reality, you are never going to fit and you're going to constantly be in conflict. So you've got to make a decision. Are you going to allow yourself the freedom to honor what you experience and marry the two? Because you can operate, you know, in a healthy way once you're no longer fighting that aspect of you that is exploring the other realms. And you're quite right too. I mean, when you talk about aliens, we're actually talking about extraterrestrials, interdimensionals, transcendentals, possibly visitors from our future. So there's no barriers here in terms of we might interpret them all differently. For example, someone from a religious perspective may see something they believe is an angel. Someone who's having contact from a different perspective will see it as a light being. What's the lens that you want to perceive these beings as? The primary thing is, though, that everywhere across the planet, people are experiencing this kind of thing, even if many of them are not prepared yet to talk about it.
Well, I think that's what's so fascinating about it is that we're trying to develop a language that's a uniform, consistent way of speaking about this. And when I was doing my own my intuitive stuff here is the way I address it. And I got transdimensional and I'm like, how? Okay, so that's like transatlantic flight. I'm having to figure out how does this make sense? The deal with kids, they don't have all this stuff to unlearn. They don't have all these limitations, all these boxes, all these nice, neat and tidy little equations that are all set in stone. So as an adult, you have to go and throw that all out and come to it with a blank slate and say, what can I learn and how can I make this coherent, cohesive? How can I make it concrete in a way that gives me some frame of reference to know what I'm talking about? In the meantime, as I'm doing all of this and learning, I get contacted and the contact is saying, get over your fear. And I'm saying, okay, I think I've done that because I've had these paranormal experiences that have shown me things that might be frightening. And I've worked in the dream plane, on the day plane. And yet when it finally happens that I've been given this little warning and I wake up at 3 a.m. and there's this funky voice that the minute I hear it is kind of a, because they don't have a language in this particular dimension. They were using the best thing they could, and it sounded like it was mechanical and said, Winnie. And so as I hear that, you know, from maybe 8 feet away from me, the vibration of it shifts me, and I feel an immediate fear that then I'm frozen from head to toe and going, oh, darn, I knew that. Well, that's that predisposition. That's that genetic safety that kicks in and says fight or flight. And so I automatically did that knowing I was supposed to not be afraid. But that was the education that said, this is what's in there and you have to work around that. So it came back to educating me what it is that's holding many of us back from this reality. And the other thing they said was, we don't want to scare you. We don't want to frighten you. So just be prepared. You have to get around some of these limitations and these basically mind shift. You have to allow yourself to experience the unexpected, the unexplained, and things that might possibly scare you so you can evolve and transcend the current state of consciousness. Does this make sense?
Wendy, you know, you've said it so beautifully. I for those that are ready to hear this, I say I believe it's the modern day shamanic experience to actually transcending fear so that we can embrace our true multidimensional nature. Because the shaman going through the, it parallels the UFO abduction kind of experience and the fear. What really happens if you can transcend that fear is that then you can operate in that multidimensional way, because that's what the shaman has to do to operate, you know, in those other worlds. He has to transcend the human fears so that he can be comfortable in those other realms and dimensions. And it's exactly the same for those who have contact. They have to get beyond their human fears so that they can operate in that way. And all of these experiences are desensitizing us to the matrix of our greater reality. And that's exactly what this fear is, isn't it? It's saying, I don't know if I can deal with something that's completely out of my normal third dimensional realm. But actually, we've all got to do that. We've got to realize that, you know, there is a matrix of reality. And once we can do that, we can actually balance, you know, who we really are and find out who we really are. Because there's another aspect to us that is complete, that is unlimited. And this is what it's showing us, that that we are unlimited. And the other thing that you were saying, Wendy, about, you know, taking that step is finding out what it is that that really motivates your journey, your life journey as well. It helps to make things, you know, to make more sense of all the things in our lives that if we try and work out just from a third dimensional left brain perspective, never makes any sense. But once you go beyond that through your intuition and your understanding, everything starts to come together for you.
The thing that is involved in this is having a conscious grounding and trust that you are protected, that you are safe, that you are provided for, that all of this is just a way to learn rather than an affront, an attack, some kind of something meant to destroy you. And a lot of it, you know, there's that warrior mentality of, oh, I've got to fight or flight. Well, that's what we are, I believe, evolving out of into where we have the ability to step out of this illusion and into a larger frame of reference, like with those kids when they're being taught, this is what solid is and this is what isn't. And there's some people who've written these out-of-body books and experiences about that, where they're having to figure out, how do I get through the wall? Oh, darn it, I'm only halfway through. What now? And so there's right now, the learning curve, the phase. And it takes a while before you become comfortable. And not only that, you don't have a whole big support system. So books like yours, where people get an introduction to a different way of seeing reality, and they find out, oh, wow, there are others out here who are going through this same experience. It is not just a one. It is a many. It is a collective. And we're all here going through this amazing transition. I want to talk with you about the 5 years and what's coming up with that. I know we need to take a break. I'm unable to see. I'm on doing the Skype screen, and I can't see what the producer's giving me in terms of when we take a break. So if we can go ahead and do that now and take a quick break to kind of drink some more coffee. Okay. and then come back and talk about your book and how people can use that as a frame of reference or a point of reference to get basically up to speed. If you haven't had these encounters, then this will be an education. If you have, then it'll be an affirmation. Okay, one way or the other. The book that I'm talking about, you can Google it real quick, Awakening, and it's available at Amazon or through Mary. But Mary Rodwell is my guest, and I am so glad that she's sharing this information, the book, and also about some of your spectacular kids and the artwork that they produce. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with more. Again, you're listening to Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett, and we're just exploring the next phase of our consciousness in evolution, or evolution in consciousness. More coming up.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the Insta-Do. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
And we're back. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrick on Empower Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Okay, now. I need to find out why I'm getting an echo. Can you hear it on
your end, or is that just me?
I think it's just you, Wendy. It seems fine here.
Okay.
All right. Well, I wanted to get back into the show and figure out where, in terms of your kids and what they're doing with their artwork. There's one, Tracy, who has phenomenal artwork. And I know I mentioned the book, but the next 5 years and your kids, where do you think that information is coming from? Are we supposed to have that so it gives us a jump start to kick us into gear, or how does this all work?
What was fascinating for me is when people say, what's the evidence of their experiences, is often in the way they change. And we're talking about, you know, not only becoming more clairvoyant, more ecologically conscious, finding that they are looking for more holistic lifestyles, as I say, opening up, psychically or intuitively. They start to produce sometimes really complex artwork. They may start to do strange scripts, or come out with these strange, what we call star languages that feel more normal to them than their normal human tongue, as it were. I was fascinated by that, and I wanted to know what it meant, or could we understand what it meant? Since that time, I've discovered that, you know, even children are doing strange scripts, for example. I've got somewhere, you know, they were doing them at 3 years old, these scripts. I'm wanting to know, well, why is it that they're doing them, and where do they learn these scripts? And interestingly, in recent years, I found that on the spacecraft, one lady who was, I was doing a regression, she's 66, was telling me that when she was a child on the craft in hypnosis, she was seeing on a screen all these different types of script that she was learning with other children in an auditorium on the craft. And this script came from her home planet, that it was information that she was learning from her home planet. But what's fascinating about the script that others have told me too is that each tiny mark that we would just see as a strange little symbol, if you could see it multidimensionally, would contain enough information to fill a room full of encyclopedias. So it's like compressed files of information. So in some way, different individuals that are having contact are having downloaded files of compressed information. And then you have to ask yourself, well, what is it for? What, you know, can we access it or whatever? Sometimes the translators, as I call them, have been able to do that. And I've met some of those individuals, in my work, where they've looked at a script and they've actually known what it said. One lady didn't even know that she was having encounters, saw Tracy Taylor's an article about Tracy in a magazine. She picked it up and there was the script. What scared her was that, you know, she was reading the article. Well, she knew what that script said. And she wrote to me saying, how can I possibly know what this has said? You know, there's this strange script and I can actually translate it. Where did I learn this? How did I know how to say it? And when I continued to talk with her, I discovered, of course, that she'd had encounters. But it scared the living daylights out of me. I'm a 63-year-old lady. I live in Queensland. You know, I'm just a normal person. How can I possibly know how to translate this? But some of the information I don't think is translatable yet, because one of my hypotheses or theories is that we're being woken up to a point where we will understand what this is. In other words, we're operating in a limited way at the moment. But when we are woken up, then we are going to need new software for the new computer, as I call it. And I believe this is the software to help us in our multidimensional nature when we finally open up. And part of that, I think, is related to our DNA, because we only use 5% of our DNA. The rest has always been considered junk litter. They know it has a function, but they don't know what the function is. The understanding is that when we are awoken and our DNA is fully activated, we're going to be operating in a completely different way that we can't even imagine now. The things that we see as extraordinary in people will be natural for all of us. But the new computer, or if you like, the hard drive, is going to need new software. And my sense is that perhaps this is the new software when we are activated. So that is partly why we can't access it yet. This is, Wendy, this is just purely hypotheses, but it seems to fit with a lot of people that have a sense of this.
Well, and I go along with that as well. With my information, the intuition part of it and the stuff that I have been given in terms of that non-corporeal form guidance, you know, from non-physical elements, they said we have been purposely given a certain amount of information and the other has been left out, so that exactly that we wouldn't be frightened. We wouldn't assume something without having the benefit of knowing from a more conscious awareness. At this point, we are in a way very much in the infantile state, because we're still stuck in that autopilot of fight or flight, and we want to kill something before we want to figure out what it is. Or if we want to learn more about it, we dissect it. Well, that's not a healthy approach when you're, you know, somebody else wants to come up to you and just have a relationship. It's like us, the way we treat our animals right now, instead of spending time with them and learning about them as a co-being, as something on a parallel plane, we look at them as a lesser being and consequently do whatever we feel we want to. And that isn't necessarily helpful when you're trying to make contact with another foreign species or foreign being. They're looking at that saying, not going to do that. You're not ready. You're not ready. You don't value all that is around you yet. You need to grow up a little more. So we're given little carrots to inspire us, and children who already know part of it to help assist and make the connection between the old paradigm and the new one. Now that gets us into the 5 years. What is being suggested as our future?
Well, it's interesting that this young lady was telling her mother, the one from Northern Europe, the 9-year-old, and she said it's very, very important in the next 5 years, because that's part of the process, even although it's going to be very difficult to begin with, that ultimately we as a species now are on the tipping point of waking up to who we really are. And this is interesting that she described some books that she'd been given by her non-physical family, and one's a blue being with, she says, with no hair, you know, bigger eyes than humans, but no ears. This blue being and another, a green type ET-looking being as well, she said they're the ones that teach her and guide her and actually help her understand about the non-physical world so that she can operate in it without being, you know, confronted or not knowing what's going on. And she talked about access to seven books that she'd been given in the way that, not quite the way we understand books. And what's fascinating, Wendy, is what she says about them. She says the red book is about creation and our origins. And the brown one is about different planets and the life there. The light green one, she says, is about nature and how we can make contact with plants and animals and how to understand nature. The dark green one's about the body and how it really works and how we get it to evolve, which is fascinating. The blue book is about light and truth. The red brown book, she said, she can't open yet because a dragon took the key from her sometime in the 1700s. And she said this was in the 1700s, which you don't expect a 9-year-old to say that. You know what I mean?
Yes. I'm guessing that's the shamanic one, the one that allows you to go in between and, you know, and do loops and cartwheels between dimensions.
That's right. And she said the black book's about darkness and evil. And what was fascinating too, she said we all originate from Dayland. She doesn't use the word God, as she says it's misused. She calls it a being in daylight, an over-terrestrial, where we all originate. And it's not a man or a woman. It has no gender. And she said the being sowed the seed of light and love only. And it's where the light and the angels live, and that we all originated from there. Now, it's just astounding. Absolutely.
It's a whole
astounding.
Different way of viewing the world. I want to ask you real quickly again. You've got this, the red book, blue book, green, dark green, brown, red, brown, black. Did I leave anyone out?
I think it's seven books. Yes, I think you said every one of them. Okay. I can send you the article that I've actually written some of this information in, and you can have it for yourself if you'd like that, Wendy.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah, that. Yeah. See, this part of our collective upgrade requires relearning old information and putting it in a new perspective. So basically reformatting the hard drive. The shamanic stuff that I have been through is nothing less than earth shattering, because when everything in front of you all of a sudden takes a shift to a different dimension, and you're walking down the street and now the cars are all a different color. The people you're coming in contact with have different ways of appearing, in terms of they may sometimes wear horns. you're shown a different look at how we are creating our reality, and it depends on where you're at in the way that shifts your view, your perspective. And you have to get back, in my way of saying, from projecting reality and putting my expectation, my awareness, my I think I know this already attitude to what is being presented? What am I bearing witness to? Where are the holes, the connects that I can figure out what's going on behind the scenes and not what has already transpired in this concrete physical? That's a different way of thinking. That's just a different way of thinking, and it takes a while to get used to. So when you're experiencing it like that, then it just takes away from everything that you've been taught about going to work 9 to 5, earning a living, getting a job, getting a degree, and the way life should be in the Western world, in our, I guess, our way of indoctrinating everybody into that sameness of cookie cutter collective. The world is actually full of variety, and it's amazing when you get to go to that place.
Absolutely. I think the thing that is really fascinating to me is how we're being helped with the new generations coming in, because one of the things Tracy Taylor said is that those more awake that don't have quite the same trauma as some of us in transcending our physical reality in the way. She said these ones, the conscious awareness of these new children can override the dominant conditioning and programming that occurs here at birth. And she said they've got superior mental and analytical capabilities that link directly to the subconscious and superconscious with a connection to the universe and spiritual understanding. She also continues that the DNA has 10 times the amount of information and that everything in them is accelerated and can recognize foreign organisms. She's actually saying even with self-healing and what have you. So in other words, each of the upgrades is more prepared for the new paradigm, and they're being able to help us by the fact that, you know, it's a bit like the 100th monkey that, you know, as some of us get that understanding and that awareness, we're actually impacting on the collective of humanity's psyche itself. So, you know, we're not going to be left behind, which I think is really important. And what I'm also hearing is that some of the reasons for the exponential increase in ADD, Asperger's, autism and what have you is that these may very well be new programs. And because all of them, you can't program in the third dimensional way as easily because of the way that their brains operate. And there are certain those within my research now that are suggesting this is the reason for that is that they can't be programmed into an old mindset because of the way that their brain is differently wired, if you like, and what have you. And Dr. William Brown in Hawaii has actually agreed with that. He's a molecular biologist. And he actually says that he believes that the genetic modification is occurring in utero and is actually producing a new human. The hybrids, he said, are a new species of human, but shown by the exponential increase in autistic ADD and indigo children, he said the genetic architecture allows them to see the world in a multidimensional fashion. And he believes research would show dormant genetic regions are being integrated into the biological system, and it's occurring in all of us to produce expanded awareness. So he's actually saying and making a statement that these are part of the new programs for the new human, which is a whole new way of looking at what we've seen as perhaps dysfunctions, that maybe, in fact, these are new programs with different awareness, as we've seen that some of those that have autistic, that might be autistic, can sometimes show savant-like characteristics and abilities. So it's a hypothesis, but it's certainly something that is to maybe get us to think that the possibility is that maybe there's a reason behind some of this.
In my experience with people who have shamanic abilities and people who have expanded horizons, expanded awareness, is it's just being in their presence. You can experience things that you may not have had the opportunity to before. And it's like doing an attunement on somebody in Reiki. When you do that, you basically give somebody else a jump start. And would that be something like with these new kids coming into the field of awareness, getting around them and seeing and asking, okay, what do you see here? And asking them to help give us a leg up on what's happening. Because it seems to me where the old thing of all the elder people used to teach because they had more knowledge, this is a different environment that we're in. And these new kids have a grip on something that we haven't even been introduced to. We have no idea it exists. It hasn't happened before in our timeline. And here they come in going, well, what do you mean you can't see between the lines? What do you mean you can't see all the energy around the trees and the DNA and the water? That water has its own special element that is active and interactive and alive.
Absolutely, Wendy. And this is the one thing, I mean, when the little boy that talks about his family being the mantid, he sees energy around trees and plants and also communicates with animals. And he said part of his mission is to help people understand animals and to realize that we're all part of this matrix of consciousness. I mean, this is the 8-year-old knowing his mission, if you like. Mm-hmm. And these other ones, like little Kathy, she said even her little brother is going to be a teacher. So it's almost reversing. Yes, we'll be there in terms of material support, but they're going to be our teachers to show us about the new paradigm. And one of the interesting things little Kathy said to her mum when her mum translated, because obviously they come from Northern Europe, and her mum laughed over an interview I had with her, and Kathy was there, and she said, Kathy's saying that, Mary, you've got big ears. And I sort of said, and then she laughed and she said, what she really means is that Mary listens and most adults don't. So that was really quite a fascinating way of saying that as adults, we really now have to start listening to the children, because they're the ones that are going to lead us into this new understanding, this new world, this new evolutionary process, which is our awakening.
I love that. I love that. And I also like there's a visual that goes along with that. I'm wearing headphones right now with the big ears to be able to hear you better and to be able to focus. But for me, that goes on to the next level is there's a much more abstract way of thinking instead of everything being linear. There's when you go into that multidimensional kind of attitude or element or perspective, you have access to so much more information. It can be almost overwhelming, especially when you're trying to get up to speed and the world used to be flat and now it's 26 dimensions. Holy cow. How can we get up? How can we catch up so fast? We're being asked to do, incredibly superhuman things in terms of learning and expanding our awareness. Is there something written into the program for that you're saying we're all going to be taken along and nobody will be left behind, but 5 years, that's a short time frame.
It is, but it's already, we're in that process now. If you know, we were talking about the fact that more and more people are owning their experiences and coming out and saying, this is my reality. This has been incredibly fast in the sense that, you know, a few years ago, I might get one or two emails a week. I'm getting, you know, five times that every single day now from all around the world. This is really expanding in a way that I would never have anticipated. People are just saying, I don't care what you think. This is my experience. This is my reality. Writing books on this. All of this is creating a wave of awareness that is literally reaching all consciousness on this planet, because we know we're all connected anyway. And what is it they say, you know, 10%, when 10% of the planet gets whatever the new paradigm is, that ultimately everyone else will as well. Almost what's been shared with me is that this will be almost instant. This will not be something that's going to take months or years, that it'll almost be a tipping point and then everyone will get it and it will just be, yeah, This is how it is now.
Yeah.
And this is what they're saying is that, we are right in it now and it is going to happen really fast.
Okay. So the books that are helping with this, you have one, The Awakening, that book, if you're listening and wanting more information, more concrete information, because there's a lot to cover here, that book. And then you're also on YouTube talking about the new human star children, and people are finding loads of information through those programs. Is there a book, a current book now that you're also, is that also in book form?
Oh, look, Awakening is the one that I really is, if you like, assists you through the process. The whole idea of writing it, interestingly, I seemed to get a lot of help when I was writing it. It was like answering the questions, you know, from what, you know, is it real? What do I do about the fear? You know, all those things that come up with somebody that's going through the process, including looking into clairvoyancy and how do you operate in a multidimensional way. That was sort of the resource book, if you like. I've got two on the go, but in the meantime, I've found articles are the best way to get the information out there now, because unfortunately books take time. The other thing is doing interviews like this, Wendy, because you do an amazing job, because you are reaching so many in this way. And this is why I never turn down an interview if I can possibly do it, because this is the way to have the information out now, rather than a few months or whatever. Writing books takes too much time, and that's the problem with it. So in that sense, this is the absolutely best way, is to listen to interviews like yourself and get this information instantly.
So, I agree. Yeah, I agree, because I'm not writing any books, and I've found that, okay, if I can just share this now, it's out there and somebody can use it.
Well, it's about getting the information out now. The trouble is with, as I say, books, articles are quicker, so I can get stuff out a lot faster. I've just found it just so time consuming, and this information needs to be now. That's why I focus so much more on doing it this way.
Okay, so people who are going to contact with you, again, you're in Australia, ACERN acern.com.au. And interestingly enough, one of the Facebook, when I posted this and said I'm going to be doing this interview, somebody, Patty Greer, who does, she does shows and things, she's focused on crop circles, but she says, she's the one who helped me. She's phenomenal. So that's how small the world is.
Oh, Patty, I remember her well. We were both speaking in Glastonbury, and I did some work with her, which was really useful in terms of her own journey. So she's a beautiful lady and doing amazing work.
Well, that's the thing, though. The more we make our connections, the more we inspire others to step forward and own their truth and claim their power and say, look, kids, we're all in this together. These are amazing times. There is extraordinary shifting going on. And the more you allow yourself to just be open, the more information you will find available in the most unique forms and the most unique circumstances. It just, that's the way it happens. So what's your next project?
I've got a number. I've just been participating in a documentary, which is about reincarnation. And this director has actually seen the value of looking at it from the extraterrestrial perspective. Because as you know, many people have other lifetimes as non-humans. And so that's sort of bringing in the memory that I've been on other planets at other times. And I've come in with my mandate this time to help humanity. And a lot are aware of that.
Oh, darn it. Now we have to go. That was a great introduction. Okay, so we'll have to find out more. Will you promise to update us on that? You have a website. You're going to post it there when it comes out?
Absolutely. No worries at all.
Okay, see, there you go. That's the carrot. Thanks for listening. I'm going to take a break. This is Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett, Conscious Living.